Blog Talk Radio.
My bad. Lean Keys 140. Lean Keys Real Talk 149. Sorry about that. I didn't realize I had my microphone muted. But anyways, we here. Whitaker versus Till fight card is this Saturday. I was watching the face-offs just a little while ago, and they had them outside in like the, you know, it had the whole Fight Island Zen theme. They're outside in the octagon that's like actually on the beach, and that, for one, just saying, that looks super cool. That whole octagon on the beach vibe is a vibe, and that looks super cool. And I'm kind of, when I saw that, when I watched that face off, I have some other thoughts on it that we'll get back to. But I'm just kind of mad that they're not having fights out in that octagon that's on the beach. I don't really know why they're not, but it looked really cool in the video. So I think at least from that standpoint, the UFC probably looks at it like this is really cool marketing tactic. So we can get these kinds of these kind of clips to go viral, and we get photos from these face-offs to go viral, and we can advertise these types of pictures for like the Fight Island, you know, all the promotion and for the, you know, the covers and all that. But I mean, they don't actually have the fights out on that octagon on the beach. The actual fights are in some inside facility, and that's totally lame to me. But hey, who am I? Lee, what up, bro?
Yo, what's good, bro? How you feeling today? Can you hear me? Yo, can you hear me? Oh, shit. All right. Yo, can you hear me, Keith? Yeah, I'm here, bro.
Yo,
can you hear me?
Yeah, my bad. I got disconnected.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm here.
Yeah,
man.
I got disconnected right there from the live, but we back. What were you just saying?
Yeah, man. This octagon on the beach really does look dope. If they could do like a daytime fight where they didn't have to like link up with the East Coast, I think this would be a dope idea to have a fight on the beach. And you know, man, but this Fight Island thing has got life, man. I just want to see the UFC. They can capitalize on it while we have this pandemic. But what would they do with this island when things kind of sort of get back to normal and you can have crowds? But I do like the beach and I like the background of it. Yeah, man, it's a dope idea. It's a dope concept.
I mean, to that point, I don't think anything's going to be – I mean, this is my opinion, but I feel like it's kind of obvious. You know, I don't think things are going to be back to that state for a while. You know, I think, you know, at least the rest of 20, I think we'll be watching Fight Island cards at least the rest of 2020 and probably a good portion of 2021 too. So, I mean, I think they definitely have time before they have a good amount of time before they'll need to worry about what they're going to do after Fight Island. I can at least say that.
Yeah, I agree with that. You have to capitalize on what you put in place as far as like this whole Fight Island concept. And what are the numbers over there with Fight Island to set up? Can you set up stands outside on the beach? Can you make it socially distant where there are people actually on the beach watching the fight? I think the UFC has many, many options, and I think they might want to try to expand on those options as far as, like, trying to capitalize their dollars. But at the same time, as a fan, I'm just glad you can't fight.
Yeah. You know, me too. You know, I think, you know, at some point, if they're able to have, you know, X amount of fans at a time, then that will have reached a point then when they need to start making some adjustments and think about how they can accommodate for that. If, you know, if and when they could start having some portion of an audience, you know, whatever that number may be, you know, I'm sure they'd space it out and all that. But I don't even want to get into that because I'm just going to stop it right there because the people who listen to our show and the people out there in general, even if they don't listen, I think everybody hears enough about that as it is, and I'm not even going to go into it. So, I'm going to ask you this. What used to be the division that holds, well, the flyweight division finally has a new champ, or has a champ, period, because they didn't have, I mean, not really a new champ, but I guess so. But at the same time, the belt is finally on somebody who was vacant for a while. I don't know how long. I don't even know how long it was vacant for. Was it vacant for like a year or something? Because I know when Cejudo won the bantamweight title, they stripped him right after that. They stripped him after that because he wasn't going to go back down. So I want to say is the flyweight title was vacant for a year. But now, Figueiredo just beat Joseph Benavidez for the second time. And, man, that fight was kind of sad to me. It was not in the way that a lot of people would expect, because a lot of people have just been bashing Benavidez for losing in that way and losing, you know. I mean, it's sad because he's lost every title fight he's ever been in, so it's just – It's disappointing to see a guy come up short in all of his biggest fights, you know, and they're all title fights. It's not just like Cerrone, where Cerrone has had one or two. I think he's had two title fights. He lost both, but, you know, he usually loses his, like, non-title fights that are also big fights. But Benavidez literally is, I think, 0-4 or if not 0-5 in title fights, and it's just it's sad, man. It's really sad. How do you feel about it?
Well, sometimes some people are meant to be the bridesmaids. Sometimes people are meant to be the bride. Benavidez is meant to be the bridesmaid. He couldn't be Figueiredo twice. He couldn't be DJ twice. It's just one of those things, man. Just like Cerrone is looked at as a great fighter, but every time Cerrone gets a title fight, he can't win. So sometimes it's destined for you to be a bridesmaid. I think Benavidez is destined to be a bridesmaid. And I think for as great of a fighter as he is, he's basically going to be a gatekeeper now. He'll probably get big-time fights against top five guys, but he'll never get a title fight. So, sometimes it's meant to be, sometimes it's not. And I just think for him, it's just not meant to be. And I really don't see him moving up to 135 because he's really a small guy, and I don't see what 135 will offer him. Maybe he fights the contract out and moves over to Bellator and fights some lesser talented guys and maybe finally get a chance to wear a belt. It's just one of the things, man. As much as you like the guy, you want him to win, but sometimes it's not meant to be.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, it's like you said, it, you know, maybe it's just not meant for him. You know, maybe the UFC, you know, as you also just suggested, maybe the UFC isn't even where he's meant to be, you know, and that could very well be. Maybe, you know, maybe he, I don't know what he's going to do next. I don't know. I mean, he did say at the presser afterwards, he said he's going to fight. You know, there was no retirement talk, at least didn't seem to be. And he said he was going to fight. And you see how it pans out. You know, like you said, maybe he's meant to, you know, go over and be a star in Bellator. Maybe he's meant to go over to one championship and be a star out in Asia. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting, actually, if he did go to one championship, given that DJ is there. And maybe he thrives better in that flyweight division, because I know they have, I think those flyweights fight at a different weight. I think flyweight is actually, it's not contested at 125 in one championship, I'm pretty sure. So maybe that's the move for Benavidez. We'll have to see what happens. But it was, you know, Figueiredo is the new champion, and I have a question for you. Now, I don't know if you've been following the flyweight division. I know you were a big fan of the flyweight division in the past. I don't know if that time has passed, but I mean, I just want to know, who do you think should be next to, who should Figueiredo defend his belt against first?
I mean, I've been watching a lot of talk as far as, like, everybody talking about Brandon Moreno and his personality and all that good stuff. Me personally, I'm crazy, but I think that Henry Cejudo is going to get the, he's going to come back and fight Figueiredo, and I think that's going to be the fight that's made next. I don't know why I feel that way, but I just feel that way, especially with Pantoja losing. With Pantoja losing, and I think Formiga, you know, he's been up and down, and Perez, Formiga, I think they're going to go with Moreno because Moreno is more, damn, I hate to say this, but it's so true. He is more liked by social media, and I think they'll probably put Figueiredo against Moreno. But, you know, you right now, you just need to build a flyweight division up. The only way you can go is with Moreno. Anything outside of that, I don't think you can sell to the fans. But my personal opinion is the UFC should be reaching out to one to see what they can do to get Demetrius Johnson back. Because I think Demetrius Johnson would definitely bring back an injection of energy into the division. And I think if he was to come back, maybe Cejudo would come back and still have Moreno there, Figueiredo there, Pantoja still there, you got Alex Perez. But I think Moreno gets the next title shot because of his social media following and how much people like him. Whether that's right or wrong, who cares? right now the UFC is catering towards the casual fan instead of the hardcore fan.
So if the machine was catering to the hardcore fan, what would they do? Who would they have Figueredo?
I think the machine was catering towards the hardcore fan. They would probably go with Alex Perez, because he has more fights than Brandon Moreno, and that's more. He's fought more named guys than Moreno, but right now you have to go with Moreno. Well, Pantoja hurt himself when he lost, though. Pantoja's loss was a big loss.
Yeah, and you were saying too. You think Cejudo is gonna come back to drop down to flyweight?
I think Cejudo right now. I think what makes him popular is him throwing his name out there, because I know last couple days he said he would come back and fight Peter Yan to solidify himself as the greatest bantamweight champion. And I think he will probably throw his hat in the ring, come back and fight Davidson Figueiredo, so he can have both belts once again at the same time. But I just don't see him making 125 and being effective at 125.
But it seems like Cejudo has been calling out Volkanovski, though. It seems like he wants to move up to 145 to fight for his third belt.
I'm going to be honest. This is me speaking on the heart. I cannot stand Henry Cejudo since he has become champ. Ever since he has become champ, he makes a mockery of himself and other champions within the division that he's going to fight in. So now all of a sudden he want to move up to 145 to fight Volkanovski. He never said that when Max was the champ. So why didn't you want to move up to 145 when Max was the champ? Oh, because he thinks he has a chance to beat him for now. So my thing is, he looks for fights that are stylistically, but you know, that's neither nor there. I'm quite sure if he was to ask for it, the UFC would give it to him. Whether I would be in for it, that'd be a no, because he's not. It's just certain things about him I don't like.
So you don't like the possibility of that fight. All right, so that's understood. What I'm getting to is that Cejudo was when Holloway was the champ. When Holloway was still had the 145 title, Cejudo, as far as I know, he talked about wanting to move up to 145, but I never witnessed him actually calling out Holloway like the way that he is with Volkanovski, like adding him on Twitter all the time and commenting on his Instagram and saying this, or tagging him on Instagram and saying this. He talked about wanting to fight 145, but he never was actually actively, you know, putting his name out there for the fight and trying to start a back and forth to create the interest like he is with Volkanovski. So for, you know, the way you said that of how he never really went at Max in the same way is true. He talked about it doing it, but he never really called out Holloway. But now he's called out Volkanovski. And I agree with what you're saying, that I believe he does view Volkanovski as a much easier guy to beat than Holloway if he were to move up. You know, Holloway, I feel like, too, would be a lot bigger than him. But at the same time, though, I mean, Cejudo just beat Dominic Cruz, who was, in my opinion, Cruz is a lot bigger than him, you know. So I guess that maybe wouldn't even be the factor, but just Holloway's volume, I think, would be a lot for Cejudo. As where Volkanovski, I just don't think Volkanovski, it's just not, it's definitely, in my opinion, a much less dangerous fight. If you want to move up to 145 and you used to be a 125, you definitely have a better chance of beating the current champion than you do the former champion. I agree with that.
But that's easy, though. So if you think about it, Max Holloway's takedown defense is basically, he's probably one of the top takedown defense guys in the UFC. You think Henry Cejudo want to trade shots with Max Holloway? No. What he want to do? He want to take Max down and utilize his wrestling. But he can't do that against Max because of his takedown defense. Volkanovski's takedown defense hasn't really been tested. So Cejudo sees something in Volkanovski's game that he can maximize on, and I think that's because Volkanovski's takedown defense probably isn't the greatest, and that's why he's calling on Volkanovski instead of back in the day calling on Max Holloway.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And another thing, too, is I didn't know the beat was number two at featherweight. That's definitely news to me. I did not know that the beat was number two. Wow. Okay. And also, I think probably, I mean, if the beat doesn't have a – this is just totally random because I was looking at the rankings just to see, because since we were on, you know, relatively on the topic and I was looking at these champions, you know – Ortega versus Korean Zombie, I feel like the winner of that will be the next guy to fight for the belt. I didn't realize that until I looked at the rankings, but, I mean, it would make sense unless Zabit can get a fight and win a fight. I mean, I forget who he beat in his last one, but I don't think he's right there for the title. I don't remember him beating – he beat Calvin Kattar, but I don't think that's – I mean, Kattar is a top 10 guy, too, but I don't think that's, like, title shot worthy. I think Zabit. I think Holloway versus Zabit actually would be a good – I think that'd be a good one. I think that would be a real good one. And then Ortega versus Korean Zombie. Probably that's number three versus – that's your number three versus your number four. I mean, Ortega hasn't fought since he got absolutely dominated by Holloway, like, 2 years ago. So, he looked horrible in his last fight. So, I mean, if he were to even beat Korean Zombie, I feel like it's even hard. It'd be even hard to, like, market him for a title shot with how bad he got destroyed versus Holloway. I just feel like if you're the UFC, I'd be, like, hoping Korean Zombie wins because Korean Zombie has been winning since he came back. He did lose to he did lose to Yair, but he lost at a buzzer beater in the fifth round, and it was like a fight of the year. I think it was the fight of the year that year. So, I mean, I don't even think that's like a bad loss. That's like an all-time great fight to me. One of the best fights I've ever seen. So, Zombie's only looked great since he came back. I think if you're the UFC, you hope that he wins, and then he can fight Volkanovski, and then do Holloway versus the beat in the meantime.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Ortega must be a witness protection because we haven't seen him since he got beat up by Max Holloway. But we always hear his name getting thrown around. As far as potential fights. So I don't know when they got to clear that to the FBI, the CIA, or something like that to get into a fight. But me personally, I don't know about the beat being a contender because of his limited skills. He has no stand-up game at all. I mean, he can hit you with a jab, you know, throw occasional punches, but he doesn't hurt any of his competitors with his punches. He might outwork you with the cardio, but outside of that, I don't see him knocking nobody out. I see him rather tire somebody out and then submitting them. But with Korean Zombie and Brian Ortega, the winner probably should get a title shot. Both of those guys are going to give you action. It's not going to be a fight where you sit there like, oh, God, when this is going to go? Has the paint dried on the wall yet? You know, it's just that I don't think Dana wants that type of competitor in a title fight. I think he wants somebody who's coming there and willing to put it on the line and get the fans what they came to see. So, yeah, man, I think we'll get the winner of Korean Zombie versus the Witness Protection. The winner will probably get the title. Although I feel that Brian Ortega's absence from the game has probably been a little too long for my liking. Even if he was to win, if I was in charge, I wouldn't give him a title fight. I'd probably make him take another fight just because. But this today's UFC, man. It ain't about who's more deserving. It's about who's going to put more eyes on the TV and more money in my pocket.
So I got to ask you another thing, too, because I think we were going back and forth with this on Twitter a couple of days ago, and I actually kind of lost my mind a little bit a couple of times at some things that people were saying about this on Twitter because I was just disgusted. I was disgusted at this narrative or allegation or whatever. Marlon Moraes, you know, wrote a tweet saying, like, how am I not the number one contender? You know, I beat, you guys, like, I knocked out, you guys think Aljo, I knocked out Aljo in 2017. And then I just beat Aldo and all this stuff. And it's like, how are you going to deny me as the number one contender? And it's like, man, you, three years ago, man, listen, 3 years ago does not matter for who is the number one contender in 2020. That's like saying, oh, Stefan Struve, you know, knocked out Stipe, you know, back whenever that was. So Stefan Struve, how are you going to deny him as a number one contender? He knocked out the champion. No one cares about that. No one cares about that fact. It's too old. Too old. No one cares about that. Okay, 3 years ago has no relevance to who's the number one contender in 2020. Maybe in 2017, well, Aljo was, I think, he was much lower ranked in 2017. So that win for Marais at that time really wasn't as big as it would be if he knocked him out, like, you know, in his next fight. But that definitely does not do anything. And especially when Marais got absolutely, you know, he left out the fact that he got absolutely, you know, he got beat so bad versus Cejudo. The way Cejudo broke him down and finished him, he got played so bad in that title fight, and he looked bad. And it was about that fact that he already fought for the belt, and the only fight he's had since he came back was versus Aldo, who's a washed. Aldo's like way past his time. You know, his better days are way behind him, as you would say. As you would say, Aldo's better days are way behind him, I think. And beating him does not do anything for anything. Because he's not even a contender at 135. He doesn't even have a win at 135.
Okay? They just tried to put him there so that when they hoped that he won the fight, they could justify why they were going to give him a title shot anyways, which they still did. Wait, did they? Yeah, they still did, and he fought Jan anyways, and then he lost again. So Aldo, that fight means nothing. So Aljamain Sterling on a 5-fight win streak, and in his last fight, if you watched it, I know you watched it, but if I think everybody knows he submitted Corey Sandhagen, who I want to say is number 3 contender, and who's been looking unbelievable. You know, he was on a crazy run too for a while. He just submitted Sandhagen in the first round. How are you going to deny that Aljamain Sterling is the number 1 contender? I mean, that's just crazy to me, Lee. That's just crazy to me. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Yo, Lee. Okay, so I don't know about that, but we'll check back. So either way, you know, Dana White also, you know, they had a post-fight presser, I think it was after Jan won the belt. And, you know, the media asked something along the lines of, you know, who would be fighting for the belt next. And if he was considering Aljamain Sterling as a number one contender, which I think if you've been paying attention to the bantamweight division, you would easily say that Jan Sterling is the fight to make. I mean, they've both been on runs pretty much simultaneously, beating guys like simultaneously. Like, they both get a win around the same time, and they just both keep looking good. They've both been climbing to the top. And I think if you've been paying attention to the bantamweight division, you know that that's the fight to make, is Jan versus Sterling. So I don't really understand how anybody can say anything else. Marais does not justify it. He's not even – he needs to, like, beat, like, a legit contender before he can talk about fighting for the belt again. He needs to fight Corey Sandhagen, or he needs to fight, you know, Cody Garbrandt, or maybe even fight TJ Dillashaw when he comes back. You know, but he needs to fight somebody. He needs to get a legitimate win for somebody who would, you know, someone who actually has wins in the division. That's what I think about that. And Jan versus Sterling is the fight. So if I'm UFC, I'm making Jan versus Sterling. And that one is not even, I don't even think that's really like just for the, I mean, I think it caters more to the hardcore fans more than the casual fans. But at the same time, though, like, I feel like that fight would actually have a lot of appeal to the casual fans too, because I think if it was just marketed the right way, and if you actually, like, go through their timeline of where they've both been in the past, like, year and a half in the division, you can really build that up to be an exciting title fight. You know, if you market that the right way and actually give it the push it deserves, I think you could definitely build that up and make that, you know, make that a really big fight and make that have more appeal to the casual fan. I think one more thing that I'm really looking at and that I'm really been thinking about. Excuse me. Long week. I think one more thing that I'm really pondering about is, you know, off that old topic, is this Whitaker and Darren Till, because a lot of people have been counting Whitaker out just based on his last performance. And I mean, there's a saying there where it's like, you're only as good as your last fight, but at the same time, not really. I mean, yes, I think that remains true in the eyes of, like, from a fan perspective, because that just shows, like, that saying you're only as good as your last fight pretty much is, like, I think more in relation to like the fans' perspective of the fighter, more than it is like, oh, that's more than it is relative to the fighter's like current state and like current like level, because you don't just like your stock drops. Like Whitaker's stock, I feel like dropped a lot, and his like you know his fan base, you know, probably got a lot more quiet after the way he looked versus Adesanya. And I think that is, I mean, but it's not like, I don't think that was a make or break fight for his career. I mean, him as a champion, I think it, you know, he might need to get more than just this. Like, I don't really know if like a win versus Darren Till is going to like bring him back to the title picture. You know, he might need another one after that to be able to get there. Don, like, the title run that he had, like, it was just a lot of, he's a guy who gets injured, you know, a lot, and he had the belt for a while, but really didn't defend the belt much. And, but, I mean, in relation to what I was saying about, you know, the fans kind of turning on Whitaker, it's just that I think they, you know, fans who didn't see his two fights with Romero, I think, and didn't, you know, and unaware of his whole run at middleweight. I mean, he went to middleweight and pretty much, I think he went on like an 8-0 run at once he moved up from welterweight to, welterweight to middleweight. And then he might even went 9-0, but then he finally lost against Adesanya. And Adesanya's a high level fighter. It's not like he lost to a guy that he should have beat. I mean, it's not like I think he could have beaten Adesanya. I think it was just the way he fought that night was just, that's what I saw when I watched it, was just the way Whitaker fought. He really didn't fight his fight in there. I feel like he didn't really fight Adesanya's fight either. I don't know whose fight he was fighting, but he was just, to me, I saw a lot of recklessness and a lot of wild punches. And to me, I saw an emotional fighter. I saw somebody who was very caught up or very stressed, and he just, with the way that he fought, that's what that showed me. And I don't think that that's like who he is as a fighter. And while I do think it's very possible for Darren Till, this Saturday to just like point fight his way to a win. You know, I do think that's a very possible thing. Because, I mean, if you look at his Gastelum fight, I mean, he was able to, I mean, he pretty much dominated Gastelum in that fight anyways. I mean, Darren Till is a great striker, but it's just, while I think it's very possible for him to, for the fight to go that route, I do think it's also possible for Whitaker to just come out looking unbelievable and shows us, you know, a glimpse again of, like, what he can do and why he was, you know, such a, you know, fun to watch middleweight champion, you know, and why he was able to move up and go on such a run and become the champion. I think that's also a very possible route. And I think I'll be going that way with it too. I think I'll probably be leaning towards Whitaker for my picks for this fight. I mean, it's one of those things where I more so want Whitaker to win, and I'll be rooting for him, but I do believe that Till does have some likelihood to win. At the same time, like, if you're somebody who pays attention to the face-offs and really, like, analyzes the fights that way, just watching their face-off they did and that Fight Island octagon, if you're going off that, you would predict that Whitaker is much more focused on this fight. It looked like Till Till seemed like almost intimidated at the face off. He actually didn't even like look at Whitaker. He looked down. He looked like his face might have even been red. I don't know. He just looked very uncomfortable to me at the face off. And I don't know. I mean, somebody who's super confident about the fight, I would think you look directly into your opponent's eyes and you're just locked in. But I mean, that's not what we got from him. Lee, you back? I guess not. Okay. That's totally fine. So, yeah, no, we probably would get to predictions, but I'm not sure what Lee might have. I'm not sure. Lee went somewhere, so that's fine. If he does come back, we'll get into the predictions. If not, it's all good. I got plenty. You know, one thing, too, that's been in my mind, too, is just y'all know if you listen to our show at least once or couple of times. I mean, we might not have been on this topic too much lately because there really just hasn't been all that much to talk about, honestly. But, you know, one thing that's been on my mind lately is Conor McGregor is one of my favorite fighters. Like, I say this to, like, my, you know, closest friends all the time. Like, some of my close friends watch the fights with me, and I always say this is McGregor is, you know, McGregor and Woodley are like my number one and number two to watch. Like when they're fighting, like those are the fights that I really like lock in to see. Like those are like their number one, number two guys to watch. And, you know, obviously like Woodley hasn't looked too good at all in his last two fights. You know, he's had a rough go around in his last two fights. But you know, the point being is Conor McGregor, you know, when he said he was going to fight four times, I believe he said he was going to fight four times in 2020. I was so excited for that. And it, you know, you become a fan of somebody like because of like what they do that you like, something somebody does that you like. You know, you follow them for that reason. Like it's, you know, if LeBron James just like stopped playing basketball, you know, he would lose a lot of fans because people watch him because they want to watch him play basketball, and he's really good at basketball, and that's, you know, he's inspired a lot of people that also likely play basketball, and that's, if he's going to stop doing that, you know, a lot of those fans that are following him for that reason are probably going to drift away from really being fans. You know, they'll still be a fan, but it's like there's just not as much to keep up with that person, because when they're not putting out when they're not putting out the content that you follow them for, it changes a lot. And that's kind of where I'm at with McGregor, is that it's like, you know, he said he wanted to fight four times in 2020, and you know, he said he wanted to fight four times in 2020, and he's only fought once, and not even that. He fought for 40 seconds. Like, it was 40 seconds that he fought. And it wasn't even like he really fought somebody who, like, I was dying to see him fight. I mean, it was, yeah, the Cowboy fight was definitely intriguing in 2019 when Cowboy was on his, like, little run that he went on there. He went on, like, a 3-fight win streak. And he had, you know, they were impressive wins. But, you know, so the fight was intriguing at that point, but because it was like a super fight for Donald, but then it was like he lost like his next two fights after that to Ferguson and Gaethje. And then it was like, at that point, I don't know, I just really wasn't, I didn't want to see him fight. I didn't want to see them fight as much, you know, at that point. And, you know, that wasn't exactly the fight that I wanted to see from McGregor, but we did see it, and I was excited. I did watch it. You know, it lasted 40 seconds, and that was really underwhelming and disappointing. And then it was like, okay, well, that was a quick one. Next, let's see, you know, what else. And let's see, you know, and there I was thinking, okay, you know, he'll probably have a quick turnaround. He'll probably have a quick turnaround now because he didn't even get hit once. Like, I think Cowboy threw Cowboy had one significant strike and it didn't land. So, yeah, McGregor didn't even get touched in that fight. So, I really thought, like, I expected that he would just be like, okay, like, we're going to have a quick turnaround. He'll fight, like, say that was, like, late January. Okay, he'll fight by, you know, a month, 2 months, maybe three months at most. Like, okay, he'll fight by April. Like, April is kind of even pretty late because when you don't get touched in a fight, I feel like you could easily just go back out, keep training, and just go in for another fight, stay at that weight, and just keep training, you know, another 5-6 week camp or whatever, just go right back in. But, you know, whatever the case may be, but that just didn't happen. And it turned into him not fighting. I mean, it's almost August. Next week is August. And he's still, you don't even hear any, like, rumors about him possibly fighting. And it's just like, it's really disappointing for somebody who, you know, like I was saying with the LeBron James analogy, is it's like when you watch somebody for a particular reason and then that person stops doing that thing that, like, made you a fan of them, it just, it takes away, you know, it takes away a lot from it. And Lee, you back? So like I was saying, when you're a fan of somebody for a particular reason, like I was saying with that LeBron analogy, was when they stop doing that certain thing, it takes away a lot. And it's like, you're not, they're not giving out that thing that you were following them for, the thing that made you, you know, love to watch them, that thing you loved to watch them do. And I loved to watch McGregor fight. And he, you know, I don't understand what the process is. You know, I guess, I read somewhere that they just don't have any fights for him and that they haven't offered anything. And I just don't believe it, you know, and I also just don't really understand why they wouldn't have offered anything. You know, I just don't get why. I mean, especially during a time when you don't even have a live gate for your fights. Because no fans, there's no fans in attendance. You don't even have a live gate for your fights. You don't even have a live gate for your fights. So I would, you know, I don't understand how the UFC wouldn't be looking and saying, wow, if we book McGregor, we can try to, you know, get back on the up and up, make the, you know, the money back that we might be missing on the live gate and try to make that back on the, you know, pay-per-view buys or the ESPN Plus pay-per-view buys. Because you know it will if McGregor fights. But, you know, at the same time, I just don't understand how there's no fights for him. Like, I don't get how you can't make McGregor DS3. I don't get how you can't make, you know, McGregor, you know, give him a 170 fight. I don't understand how you can't do McGregor and Dos Anjos. I feel like that's a fight that both guys would still want because that fight was supposed to happen at one point and it fell through. You know, I don't understand how you can't try to do McGregor and Justin Gaethje, you know, while Khabib is away. You know, he was expected not to fight until, I think, September. But, you know, that was before his father passed away. You know, rest in peace. Also, that was, you know, that was really sad news, you know, when I read that. It was very tragic. But, you know, he was figured to come back by around September. But that was before the news of his father's passing. So now, I don't even know. I don't even know when he would come back. And, you know, then I read a comment that was, like, from his manager saying that Khabib actually told Justin Gaethje to fight McGregor in the meantime while he's waiting for his return. And, you know, if he's saying something like that, I'm thinking that maybe he's not expecting himself to come back until a bit later now. And maybe that's why he would tell, you know, Justin to fight in the meantime. And I guess Gaethje said no. So, I mean, I guess he just wants to wait for Khabib, and that's fine. It's understandable. I mean, after seeing what happened to Ferguson, you know, being basically the interim champion in the lightweight division and the number one contender for so long and just never getting the title shot, basically being stripped of your interim title, kind of
it's kind of bogus. And, you know, being Gaethje, I understand, you know, him looking at that and being like, no, I'm not going to fall for that trap. I'm not going to go out there and fight. You know, I don't need to defend my interim title. But I don't know. It's just, I totally get that end of it. But on the end of it, of just wanting to see McGregor fight, I just want to see him fight. You know, and another one I would really like, you know, is kind of like a, almost like a dream fight of mine, is McGregor versus Wonderboy Thompson. You know, that's one that I think, you know, would probably never happen, but that would be really cool if they reached the book it. Definitely be Lee, you back?
Yeah, I'm back, bro.
You been here?
Yeah.
Oh, did you have your microphone muted?
I don't know, man. I've been listening to you talk, man. It's just been, I ain't gonna lie, and you know this is gonna take a lot for me to say. Whew, I can't believe this is about to roll off my tongue. Man, the UFC needs to get Conor McGregor back in the octagon as soon as possible.
Wait, I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
The UFC needs to get Conor McGregor in the octagon as soon as possible. The reason I say that is because,
I'm blowing away right now.
Oh man,
I never thought I would hear him say that.
Conor, as much as I don't like the guy, he is big business for the UFC, and I think Conor, he's looking for the big fight now, because I really don't think he wants to fight Khabib. It's like, why would he want to fight a guy that doesn't bring out the best in him, that actually brings out the worst in him? Why would you fight a guy that wants to wrestle you, you know, instead of stand up and train and bang and, you know, give the people that's watching what they want to see? And I just don't see Khabib being that guy for him. I see Gaethje being that guy for him. The UFC needs to, man, I can't believe I'm about to say this. Woo, boy. The UFC probably needs to bow down and acquiesce Conor McGregor's fight plan, as far as who he wants to fight and what he wants to fight. Because the guy put eyes on the TV, he put butts in the seat, and if he's not about winning championships, I don't see a problem with giving him Justin Gaethje if Gaethje loses to the beat. Giving him Jorge Masvidal if Jorge isn't a champion. You need to bring people back to watching your product and being interested in your product. And Conor makes the temperature rise when it comes to both, because people like me, I want to see him lose, and people like you love to see him win. So there's a win-win in him winning, and there's a win-win with him fighting. So, man, I can't believe I said this, but it's true. Conor is big business for the UFC, unlike any other fighter that they have on the roster. I think a lot of people really don't care for John Jones, especially the new John Jones that doesn't utilize all his weapons to win fights. The heavyweight division is So, man, God, I really just bow down to Conor McGregor on our show, but it's the truth. and I will always tell the truth, regardless of how bad it tastes in my mouth. And that's where we at now, man. It's like, Adesanya is good for the sport because of his personality, his talk. But Adesanya don't put butts in the seat. And right now, Conor does that, man. Damn, I hate to say that an athlete has more leverage in the company, but Conor is one athlete that holds a lot of leverage against the UFC because of the attention he draws for his fight. And me personally, I just think it's time. They need to be on the phone right now. Conor, who do you want to fight, and what do we need to do to make this happen before the year's end? As long as he doesn't say Khabib, I'm all in.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is I don't know if you heard me before, but is that he said at you know, late 2019 that he was going to fight four times in 2020. Now, I think if now this is just what I believe, but you know, the people I'm sure naysayers will have their own thing to make up on why he hasn't fought. But what I believe is that I heard the UFC has not reached out to offer him any fights. They have not offered him any fights. They won't give him the fights he wanted, and that's what it is that there's been a disconnect there. You know, the UFC hasn't been offering anything, and the fights that he has asked for, they more or less said no. So it's been a disconnect there, and that's what I think happened. I think he would have fought four times, if not three times, had there not been this disconnect. But man, I say just do the Diaz trilogy. Like that's what I want at this point. Just do the Diaz trilogy. Just get them both back out there. Or if you don't want to do that, have McGregor fight Masvidal. You know, the Masvidal fight is right there too. He just lost. You know, he just got dominated by Usman. You know, who cares? Like, let's just do it. It's Fight Island. Let's get all the scraps out the way. You know what I mean? Let's see. Let's get the scraps out the way and let's let the fighters fight. That's
Conor is, you have to have a fight where that you know Conor is the A side. The B side has to be a person that still draws attention from the fight fans. You can't throw out Conor McGregor versus Mickey Gall. I mean, we're like, Mickey Gall, really? That's the best you can do? So it has to be a name. It just can't be somebody you throw in there to, you know, just to have a Conor McGregor fight. So, I never really, when he said the Conor McGregor four fight thing, I think if you go back and check the tape, I never believed that he would do that because of the money he made from the Floyd Mayweather fight and then the money he made coming out of the Khabib fight. I never thought he would really do that four fight thing. But I think now is the time that, you know, you draw Conor McGregor as WWE-like stuff. Whereas, you know, you have super fights for Conor. You have fights that will sell to the public, and it's fights that he doesn't mind being in. You know, I think that's where Conor's at right now, Keith. As much as we as MMA fans, does Conor really want to be a champion? I don't think he really wants to be a champion. I think he wants to dip in, dip out, dip in, dip out, dip in, dip out. Am I, would I be mad about that? No. Would I mind to see Conor come back twice a year to fight a tough fighter? I wouldn't mind that. As long as his skills are still there and he still has enthusiasm for the UFC, bring him back. Have him fight super fights twice a year. International Fight Week and maybe your end-of-year show, I'm cool. But you can't have a talent and a guy that brings so much attention to your sport sitting on the sidelines because y'all can't come to negotiations to make a fight for him. I think it's petty. I think it's something that should be worked out. But I also think that Dana White now is in a position of power, whereas he wasn't with Conor, and he's looking at his sport. Do we really need him to succeed? Technically, no. But the bottom line sometimes is bigger than your ego, and I think bringing him back would be good for the sport. And I don't mind Conor McGregor's trash talk as long as it doesn't step over the line. And I think people love him, man. I think his fan base is so big that you sometimes have to bend over, bow down, and be like, okay, who would you like to fight? Much as I hate that, as long as it ain't for a title, I'm with it. Because if he's not striving to be a champion, don't get him a title fight, but get him a super fight. Would I mind seeing Conor McGregor versus Tony Ferguson? Hell no. I would love to see that fight. I would be out of my mind about that fight. But I love to see Conor versus Poirier too. I think I would be in for that. Would I mind to see Conor versus Jorge Masvidal? Of course, I would be in for that. Conor versus Gaethje, although I think he would beat Gaethje, but I would be in for that. The Diaz trilogy, I really don't think, me personally, I would be into that because I think we'll go more of the likes of the second fight where Conor drops him. And he potentially drops them, they can't take a punch. But let me apologize right now. My phone went out for some strange reason. That's why I was off, people. My bad. My service has been super terrible since the Sprint merger. And, yeah, man, free Conor McGregor. I can't believe I just said it. If I got a T-shirt, I will wear it. Free Conor McGregor. Let's go, UFC. Let's go.
Wow. You know, it's interesting timing that I happen to just see on the Twitter timeline that you're a big fan of Ciroc. And at the same time that I just...
that was last night.
Yeah, I just saw that now when I was scrolling. And I'm like, man, he got, like, every flavor of Ciroc up on the table. And I didn't even know you were a Ciroc guy. I didn't even know you were a Ciroc guy. And you didn't even – you look like a Ciroc connoisseur. You got every flavor. And you didn't know that I was a Ciroc guy. I love Ciroc. I actually drank a whole bottle. Well, I split a bottle with my boy, but we killed a bottle of Ciroc last weekend. And I love the apple Ciroc. That apple flavor is probably my favorite one. But
yeah,
I haven't tried them all, though. I still got to try.
Yeah, man.
I still got to try.
I'm a Ciroc boy. I'm a Ciroc boy.
Yeah,
man. I got every flavor on my bar, as you can see. My favorite, my personal, is I have a tie with the summer watermelon and the peach. Those are my two go-tos. I'm a Ciroc boy, man. You know?
Yeah, we'll have to dive into some Ciroc talk. We'll have to get into some Ciroc talk on one of the next shows because I didn't realize that was going on, and you didn't realize that I was sipping the Ciroc on the regular, too. So, but
Yeah, I used to drink the Ciroc a lot in college, man. And then I just recently started bringing it back. I was like, man, the Ciroc is so good. I don't know why. Once I left college, I kind of had a hiatus from drinking it, but now I'm starting to get back on it. But it's just funny that I had noticed you with that Ciroc pitcher around the same time that you were just saying free Conor McGregor on our show. At the same time, man, I swear, he thinks he's slick, y'all. Lee's out here off the Ciroc on the show saying free Conor McGregor. When do you ever would hear him say anything like that ever? I don't even believe that this is the same guy. I think Lee got kicked offline by somebody, and somebody else, hacker, tapped in and is using his voice to say free Conor McGregor. I would never believe that he would say any of that stuff you just said. So
actually,
as much,
man,
as I accept it and appreciate it, I'm still in utter shock.
Actually, man, you know what, man? I think, you know what, I actually evaluated my MMA talk here this last week, and I think I've been a little hard on Conor McGregor. But me being hard on him actually comes from, and you would know this because me and you have been friends and we've been talking about MMA for a couple of years now. Conor tends to low blow when it comes to the trash talk. And I don't like fighters who are one skilled and one skilled only. When me and you talk about fights, I always break down the fight as if somebody takes away your plan A. What is your plan B? Do you have a plan B and maybe even a plan C? And I have never looked at Conor McGregor as a guy that has a plan B or a plan C. But that's just me. But me being in this MMA game, I have to step out of that box sometimes and what's good for the sport. And Conor McGregor is good for the sport. A lot of people don't like John Jones. I love John Jones. But if I was to sit back and actually be objective, John Jones is a boring fighter nowadays. John Jones isn't exciting to watch unless he's being John Jones. And his last, since the Gustafson fight, he won back to, has he really been the John Jones that fought DC twice? No. Is he exciting to watch? No. Does he win? Yes. Does he make you want to go buy a pay-per-view? No. So, but Conor actually answers yes to all of those questions. He makes you want to go buy a pay-per-view because you got the 50-50 fan like Floyd Mayweather. Half of us to look at a Floyd fight because we want to see him lose. Conor McGregor is the same way. I have always prided myself on being objective, and you know this. And I just think right now, with what we have going on in the world, a Conor McGregor fight is definitely good. Even though it won't be in front of fans, it'll be good for fans across the world. Put Conor in the cage, man. Get him somebody that he wants to fight, but just don't give him a title fight. And yes, Ciroc.
Yeah, no, I didn't know it till now, but I'm glad I know it now. Ciroc boys in the building. Ciroc boys in the building tonight. Jay-Z. Y'all remember that old Jay-Z song, Rock Boys? Well, I know that's Rockefeller, but hey. We could remix it. It's Ciroc boys in the building tonight. You know what I mean?
Rock boys in the house tonight.
Yeah. I know you would know that one.
Yes, sir.
I know you would know that one.
That's right.
But we went a little bit over time. You know, I got a little bit overboard talking about my disappointment with how we didn't see this four run fight, you know, this season that McGregor was talking about late 2019, but it is what it is. Hopefully we'll get something soon. I'm shocked by Lee's statements. this evening. I think he's off that coconut Ciroc. He said it in the same show. Not only did he say free Conor McGregor and get him a fight, but he also said John Jones is a boring fighter. I am lost, man. I'm lost. He's off the coconut Ciroc. I swear to God. So, in that note, we gotta go. We gotta go. We gotta go. And that's it. What happened?
Oh man, you know, man. But I'm being objective, Keys. Man, you know I gotta tell the truth. Many people that follow me on Twitter, many people that listen to this show, many people that read my articles will know that I'm a big John Jones fan. John Jones is probably one of the greatest mixed martial artists that we probably will see in this lifetime. But truth be told, his fights aren't exciting him because he does just enough to win the fight. Does that make you great? Yeah, in the win-loss column, but does it make you great as far as the eye test? No. Because if you look at it, people are going to say he lost to Reyes, say he should have lost to Santos because he wasn't dominant. And now he wants to fight Ngannou. And me personally, I don't think that's a good fight for him because I don't think he has a chance to fight with Ngannou. I think with Ngannou, he will have to be more of the old school John Jones and use his wrestling and use ground and pound to beat him. But is he willing to do that? I don't know. But, yeah, I apologize to you for my phone going out. I'm going to Sprint tomorrow. I get off work at 2:30. I'll be at Sprint probably about 2:45 because I'm probably going to get a new phone tomorrow. And, yeah, I apologize, and it won't happen again. And I got Whitaker beating Till this weekend. I always had Whitaker beating Till. I'm a non-believer in Till. So, with that being said, everybody be good. Stay safe. Wear your mask. If you want to protest, protest in peace. Keep supporting Lynn Keys Real Talk. Live your life to the fullest. Tell somebody you love them. Have one last. That being said, Lynn Keys, bye. Peace.